3,000 members. For a church these days, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is.
Especially when you consider all the headlines about churches struggling.
Exactly.
And this isn't some mega church with, you know, a celebrity pastor or anything.
Right, right.
We're talking about an Episcopal church in Florida.
Yeah.
A mainline Protestant denomination. The kind that's, you know, been facing declining membership for decades.
Yeah, and this article we're looking at, it's called Growing Against the Tide from Christian Culture News. It really lays out all those challenges, you know, changing attitudes towards organized religion and generational shifts, the whole secularization thing.
Yeah, it paints a pretty stark picture, like not exactly a recipe for success.
No, right? Not at all. And, you know, this article actually points out a few more complicating factors, specifically for mainline denominations like the Episcopal Church, things like demographic shifts,
right,
and even political polarization. People are just reevaluating their relationship with institutions in general.
Yeah.
And churches aren't immune to that at all.
So how is this church in Florida thriving in this environment? I mean, they went from a small gathering in the early 90s to a congregation of 3,000. That's a pretty remarkable journey.
It is. And it really seems to be a combination of factors. Their location in a rapidly growing suburb of Florida definitely helped. The article talks about how they benefited from this influx of new residents.
Right.
But what's more interesting is how intentional they've been about adapting to the times. You know, they didn't just ride the wave of population growth. They actually anticipated a lot of the challenges churches are facing today, even back in their early days.
Oh, interesting. So what were they doing back then? Back in the early 90s that they kind of foreshadowed this success. What were some of those early signs?
Well, one example that jumped out at me was their approach to community outreach.
Mm-hmm.
Even back then, they had this very hyper-local focus. They were partnering with very specific organizations to address very specific needs in their community.
So it wasn't just this, like, this broad, we want to help everyone kind of thing.
No, not at all. It was very strategic. It suggested a deep understanding of their context and a willingness to really tailor their efforts.
You know, it makes you wonder if other churches were even thinking about that back then.
I know, right? It's like they were ahead of the curve in recognizing that community engagement was crucial for growth.
So it wasn't just about saving souls. It was about serving the community in very real tangible ways.
Exactly. And it wasn't just a superficial kind of engagement either.
Right.
They were really choosing partners and initiatives that allowed them to leverage their specific strengths as a church community. They were making sure their actions aligned with their core values.
That's interesting. So it sounds like authenticity has been a key factor for them right from the start.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
It makes you wonder if that kind of genuine commitment resonated with people even back then.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd imagine it did.
So let's fast forward to today. Obviously, their outreach efforts have evolved and expanded, but what about the other factors driving their growth? The article mentions several key things. What were some of the standout things for you?
Well, their outreach is still incredibly innovative, but they've scaled it up. I mean, it's really impressive. They've managed to maintain that local focus while also expanding their partnerships.
So they're working with a wider range of organizations now.
Right, and they're tackling a broader set of issues.
So they're not just throwing money at problems.
No, not at all.
They're really strategically choosing where to invest their resources and their energy.
It's very strategic, yeah.
What are some examples of that? Like, how does that look in practice?
Well, the article talks about their work with local schools.
Okay.
And it's not just, you know, donating supplies or volunteering at fundraisers.
It's more hands-on.
It's way more hands-on. They've developed these programs that provide tutoring and mentorship to students from disadvantaged backgrounds.
So they're addressing a real need in a really direct way.
Exactly. It's not just charity. It's about building relationships and really investing in the future of their community.
And the article also mentions this welcoming and inclusive atmosphere. How does that fit into the picture?
Well, this is where it gets really interesting, I think. You know, inclusivity is often treated as this, like, box a check, right?
Yeah.
A PR move. But for this church, it seems to be much deeper than that.
It's more fundamental.
Yeah, it's part of their DNA. The article highlights how their diversity isn't just a happy accident. It's the result of these very intentional efforts to welcome people from all walks of life.
So it's not just about saying all are welcome here. Mm-hmm. It's about actively creating a space where everyone feels like they actually belong.
Exactly. And they're doing that in some really clever ways. For example, they have programming that goes beyond just the usual Sunday services.
Like what?
They've got cultural celebrations, events designed for LGBTQ plus individuals and families, even outreach programs for recent immigrants and refugees. It's about recognizing and celebrating the diversity of human experience within the framework of their faith.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you wonder if other churches are missing an opportunity by not embracing this kind of radical inclusivity.
I would think so, yeah.
But let's talk about the preaching for a minute. The article highlights that they're doing something interesting there as well. What did you pick up on?
Well, one thing that stood out to me was that they're not afraid to tackle contemporary issues.
Okay.
They're weaving in discussions of social justice, climate change, even mental health.
So these are not exactly the typical Sunday sermon topics.
No, not at all. But it's about making faith relevant.
Yeah.
Showing that it can speak to the challenges and anxieties people are actually facing.
So rather than shying away from potentially controversial or divisive topics,
yeah,
they're leaning in and creating a space for dialogue and reflection.
Exactly. And what struck me is that they're not just preaching at people, they're actually creating opportunities for dialogue and engagement.
So there's a back and forth.
Yeah. They have small group discussions, workshops, even online forums.
Oh, wow.
Where people can wrestle with these complex issues together.
That's really interesting. It's recognizing that faith is a journey.
Yeah.
Not a destination.
Absolutely.
And that people need space to ask questions, to doubt, to grapple with their beliefs. And speaking of adapting to the times, they're also doing something kind of interesting with their worship formats, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. This is one of the most innovative things they're doing. They offer both traditional and contemporary services.
Oh, okay.
And they've done it in a way that doesn't feel like a compromise at all. It feels like a genuine celebration of different ways of experiencing faith.
So you could have like a grandparent who loves the hymns and liturgy of a traditional Episcopal service sitting next to their grandchild who prefers a more, you know, modern music-driven experience, and both feel equally at home.
Exactly. And it's not just about the music either.
Okay.
The contemporary services incorporate elements from other spiritual traditions, things like meditation and mindfulness practices.
Interesting.
It's about recognizing that the language of faith can evolve and adapt without losing its core essence.
It's a really smart approach to bridging that generational divide.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if other struggling denominations could learn something from this model. I mean, we've talked about their outreach, their inclusivity, their approach to preaching and worship, but none of this would be possible without strong leadership, right?
Oh, you're absolutely right. And the article really emphasizes the role of leadership, and it goes far beyond just having a charismatic pastor.
So what kind of leadership is driving this success?
Well, it really highlights their inclusive leadership style.
Okay.
And it seems to be deeply embedded in the church's culture.
Yeah.
It's not just about being nice or agreeable.
Right.
It's about creating a genuine sense of shared ownership and empowerment.
So it's less top-down and more collaborative?
Exactly. It's about valuing the voices and perspectives of the congregation. They have a very active lay leadership.
Nope.
And they're constantly seeking input from members.
So it's really about creating a sense of we rather than me.
Yes, exactly.
That's fascinating. It's almost like they've managed to create this culture of collective leadership.
Yeah.
And what about their overall vision? Is it just about attracting more members?
No. They have a much broader vision, one that encompasses spiritual growth, community engagement, and social justice.
It's about making a positive impact on the world.
Yes, both within their immediate community and beyond.
It sounds like their worship services are a big part of how they're living out that vision.
Absolutely. As we mentioned, they offer a variety of services to cater to different tastes and preferences.
Right.
And they've created this really dynamic and engaging atmosphere.
But they're also going beyond just Sunday services with their ministries and programs.
Right. They have a whole network of ministries and programs designed to meet the diverse needs and interests of their congregation, such as
they have youth groups, social justice initiatives, adult education classes, support groups. It's really about creating a holistic approach to faith.
So it integrates with every aspect of people's lives.
Exactly.
It's amazing how they've managed to create such a dynamic and engaged community. But I'm curious about the practical side of things. How are they building those connections and fostering that sense of community?
Well, they're very intentional about creating opportunities for people to connect, both within the congregation and with the broader community.
Okay.
Think fellowship events, service projects, small groups focused on specific interests or hobbies.
Right.
It's about creating a web of relationships that extends beyond Sunday morning.
So it's multifaceted. that relationship building.
Yeah, it really is. And I imagine communication plays a big role in all of this.
I would think so too.
Their communication strategy is actually one of the most impressive things about this church. They're not just relying on those traditional methods like newsletters and announcements.
Right.
They've fully embraced digital platforms. So using social media, email, text messaging, all of it.
The whole gamut. They have a very active online presence, and they're using it to share information, promote events, even facilitate discussions and connect people with resources.
So it's really about meeting people where they are.
Yes.
And using the tools they're already using to communicate in a way that feels relevant and accessible.
Exactly. It's not just about having a website or a Facebook page. It's about understanding how to use those platforms effectively to engage people and build community. We've covered a lot of ground here, but there's still more to explore.
There is. And what's especially interesting is how all of this connects to their commitment to community involvement and outreach, which is, you know, at the heart of their success story.
Absolutely.
Let's dive into that next.
Yeah.
It really is amazing how this commitment to community involvement just kind of weaves its way through everything they do.
Foundational, yeah.
It's not just an add-on.
Right.
It's like fundamental to who they are as a church.
Yeah, and I think that's a big part of what makes them so effective.
The article mentions some pretty typical things like food banks and shelters as examples.
Right.
But how are they going beyond just the, you know, the typical canned food drive?
It's about the depth of their involvement. They're not just, you know, showing up for a one-time event or dropping off a box of cans. Mm-hmm. They've built these long-term partnerships with these organizations.
Okay.
Providing consistent volunteer support.
So they're really embedded in the work.
Yeah. They're even helping with things like fundraising and strategic planning.
Wow. So their members are actually on the ground working side by side with people experiencing food insecurity.
Exactly. It's about more than just alleviating hunger.
Yeah.
It's about fostering genuine human connection.
Right, right.
And understanding.
And it goes beyond food banks and shelters, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They've also got these incredible educational workshops.
Okay, what kind of workshops?
Things like financial literacy for low-income families, health awareness seminars. Even job readiness training.
So they're addressing some of the root causes of poverty and hardship.
Exactly. They're tackling those systemic issues.
It's almost like they're operating as a community development organization alongside their role as a church.
It's a really interesting model.
Yeah.
And it seems to be really effective. By addressing those root causes, they're empowering individuals and strengthening the community as a whole.
It's like a ripple effect.
Exactly.
And they're not doing all this alone, are they?
No. That's another key part of their strategy. They're partnering with other organizations.
Right.
They recognize that they don't have all the answers.
Right.
And they're not trying to reinvent the wheel. So they've formed these strategic partnerships with local nonprofits.
So they can kind of amplify their impact.
Exactly. Leveraging each other's strengths and resources to maximize their reach.
It's that old saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, the article also highlights their commitment to inclusive practices. And this seems to be more than just a, you know, a trend for them.
Oh, yeah.
It's really a core value.
It permeates everything they do.
And they're not just paying lip service to diversity and inclusion.
No, not at all.
They're walking the walk in very concrete ways.
Absolutely. They have these really robust policies in place that go beyond just prohibiting discrimination. They're actively fostering a culture of inclusivity.
So how are they doing that?
Well, they're providing ongoing education and training for both staff and congregants.
Oh, okay.
So it's not just about rules. It's
yeah.
about shifting mindsets and building a community where everyone feels safe and valued.
What are some specific examples of how they're doing that?
Well, they have these regular workshops and training sessions that focus on understanding and embracing diversity. They've even developed a curriculum for their youth programs that teaches kids about different cultures and faiths.
Oh, wow. So they're starting early.
Yeah. Planting those seeds of empathy and understanding from a young age.
And it goes beyond just education,
sure.
right?
Oh, absolutely. They're also celebrating diversity through a wide range of cultural events and outreach programs.
Give me some examples.
They have partnerships with LGBTQ plus organizations. They host interfaith dialogues.
Uh-huh.
They even sponsor refugee resettlement programs.
It's about making sure that everyone feels seen and heard.
Exactly.
It sounds like they're creating this kind of microcosm of the world we all want to live in.
Yeah.
where differences are celebrated and everyone has a place at the table.
I love that. And I think that's a big part of their appeal. You know, people are hungry for this kind of radical inclusivity.
Especially in a world that feels so divided.
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, representation matters.
Oh, absolutely.
The article mentions that their leadership team actually reflects the diversity of their congregation.
Yeah, and that's so important. It sends a powerful message.
Right.
That everyone has the potential to lead and contribute.
And it also ensures that decisions are being made from a variety of perspectives.
Yes, it avoids that echo chamber effect that you see in so many organizations.
Right, right.
It's really impressive how they've managed to translate these abstract concepts of diversity and inclusion into such tangible and impactful actions.
It's really remarkable. And it's a testament to the power of intentional and sustained effort.
It didn't happen overnight, that's for sure.
It's years of dedicated work.
By both leaders and congregants.
So we've got this amazing story of a church that's thriving by embracing community involvement and inclusivity.
Right.
But I'm sure other churches are looking at this and wondering, how do we replicate this success?
Yeah.
Luckily, the article offers some insights into their strategies and lessons learned.
It does, yeah.
What are some of the key takeaways for you?
Well, I think one of the biggest takeaways is the importance of staying connected to the pulse of your community.
Okay.
This church didn't just assume they knew what people needed. They actively listened. They built relationships.
Right.
They really sought to understand the challenges and the opportunities facing their community.
So it's about being outward focused, not just inward focused.
Exactly. And it's not enough to just listen.
Right.
You have to be willing to adapt and evolve based on what you hear.
So they're flexible.
Very much so. They've shown a remarkable ability to shift gears, to adjust their programming and their outreach initiatives to meet those changing needs.
It's almost like they're operating with a startup mentality.
I like an alternative.
Constantly experimenting,
right.
Iterating and refining their approach.
Exactly. And they're not afraid to take risks, to try new things.
Which is hard for a church sometimes.
It can be,
It's easy to get stuck in those old patterns.
Right.
Doing things the way they've always been done.
Yeah.
But this church seems to be constantly asking, what if?
Yeah.
And how can we do better?
And that leads to another key takeaway, the importance of effective communication.
Yeah.
They've clearly mastered the art of multi-channel communication, you know, using a variety of platforms to reach different audiences.
And in a way that feels authentic and engaging.
Exactly. And it's about being responsive.
Okay.
Creating that two-way dialogue.
So that people feel heard and valued.
Yes. It's building relationships through communication. Now, the article also emphasizes the importance of investing in leadership development.
And why is that so crucial?
Well, this kind of success doesn't happen by accident. It requires strong visionary leadership.
Right.
But it's not about relying on one charismatic individual. This church has clearly invested in developing a deep bench of leaders, both clergy and lay people.
So it's about empowering people, giving them the tools and the training they need to step up and lead.
Precisely. And it's about creating a culture where leadership is seen as a shared responsibility.
It's that distributed leadership model.
Exactly.
We see it in so many successful organizations. But I'm also curious about the financial side of things.
Yeah.
How do they manage to fund all these incredible programs and initiatives?
That's a great question, and the article does touch on this. They've been very intentional about diversifying their revenue streams, exploring innovative approaches to fundraising that go beyond the traditional Sunday offering plate.
So are they tapping into grants, corporate sponsorships, things like that?
Exactly. They've also been very savvy about leveraging their assets, you know, renting out their space for community events.
Oh, right.
Even launching social enterprises that generate revenue while also providing job training opportunities.
It's incredible how entrepreneurial they've been. They're not just relying on donations.
Right.
They're creating their own opportunities.
And that ties into another key takeaway, the importance of strategic planning.
Right. So they're not just reacting to circumstances.
Yeah.
They're actively shaping their own future.
Exactly. And they're not doing it in a vacuum either. They involve their congregation in the planning process, seeking input and feedback at every step.
It's that collaborative approach again.
It is. They're really walking the walk when it comes to empowering their members.
This has been such an insightful deep dive.
It has, yeah.
We've learned so much about what makes this church tick.
Uh-huh.
And it's clear that their success is the result of a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
Strategic thinking and a deep commitment to serving their community.
It's truly inspiring.
But the story doesn't end here, does it?
No, it doesn't. The article also offers some intriguing insights into the challenges they might face in the future and how they plan to navigate them.
So let's wrap things up by exploring those challenges and their vision for the future. It's amazing to think about how much they've accomplished in such a relatively short time.
It is. It is.
But the world is constantly changing, right?
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges they might face looking ahead?
Well, the article mentions a few potential hurdles, and some of them are actually pretty relevant to a lot of organizations, not just churches. One that really stood out to me was demographics.
Okay.
You know, the area where this church is located, it's seen a ton of growth, but that might not last forever.
So how are they planning to deal with that? I mean, if that growth slows down or even reverses?
Well, they're already thinking about it. The article talks about how they're exploring ways to expand their reach beyond their immediate geographic area.
So thinking outside the traditional, you know, physical boundaries of a church.
Exactly. They're looking into online ministry options,
okay,
ways to connect with people who might be moving away, even exploring partnerships with churches in other regions.
So it's kind of like building those virtual bridges and creating a sense of belonging that goes
right
beyond location.
Yeah, and it also speaks to the importance of staying adaptable.
Yep.
You know, they've been so successful by responding to the specific needs of their community.
Right.
But those needs are going to change.
Of course. So how do they make sure they're staying ahead of the curve, so to speak?
Well, they're investing in research and data analysis.
Okay.
Actively monitoring demographic trends, conducting surveys and focus groups.
Wow, so they're really taking it seriously.
Oh, yeah. It's about getting a better understanding of how their community is changing.
Right.
And what they can do to meet those needs.
Smart. Be proactive, not reactive.
Exactly. And then there are those bigger societal shifts we talked about earlier. The trends towards secularization.
Right.
The changing role of institutions. Those aren't going away anytime soon.
So how do they adapt to that, to this evolving landscape of faith?
Well, one thing they're really emphasizing is the importance of interfaith dialogue and collaboration.
Oh, and
they're reaching out to other faith communities, building bridges.
So it's about recognizing that common ground.
Yeah, and working together to address the big challenges facing humanity.
Which is especially important these days, when the world feels so polarized.
Exactly. And they're also focusing on making faith more accessible and relatable to a generation that's grown up with, you know,
the internet.
Yeah. Instant access to information and a zillion different spiritual options.
Right. So how are they doing that? Making faith more accessible.
They're experimenting with new forms of worship.
Like what?
Incorporating multimedia elements, exploring the use of virtual reality to create these really immersive spiritual experiences.
Wow. That's cutting edge.
Right. And they're using social media in these really creative ways.
Not just to, you know, announce events and stuff.
No.
Yeah.
It's about sparking conversations, engaging with people on a deeper level.
So it's about making faith less about dogma and more about lived experience. Connecting with people on an emotional and spiritual level.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that search for meaning and purpose, it's a universal human experience.
Whether you go to church or not.
Exactly.
That's powerful. Now, the article also touches on this challenge of maintaining momentum. I mean, they've achieved incredible growth, but how do they keep that going? How do they sustain that level of engagement and enthusiasm?
That's a great question, and it's one that they're very aware of. They're really focusing on building a culture of sustainability, you know, recognizing that burnout is a real risk for both leaders and volunteers.
So it's about pacing themselves, making sure they're not spreading themselves too thin.
Yeah. They're being intentional about setting realistic goals, prioritizing self-care,
right, yeah,
and creating systems of support to prevent that burnout.
It's so important. It's easy to get caught up in the excitement of growth.
It is.
But you can't pour from an empty cup.
Exactly. And they're also really good at celebrating their successes, you know, taking the time to acknowledge how far they've come and to appreciate the contributions of everyone.
It's about building in those moments of reflection and gratitude.
Yeah.
So we've talked about the challenges, but the article also highlights some exciting opportunities for them. What are some of the things they're looking forward to?
Well, they're really excited about deepening their partnerships with other organizations, both within the faith community and beyond.
So expanding that network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They see collaboration as key to maximizing their impact and tackling these complex challenges.
So using that collective wisdom and resources.
Exactly. And they're also exploring new ways to use technology to enhance their ministry.
Oh, in what ways?
They're talking about developing online courses, creating virtual communities, even experimenting with artificial intelligence to personalize the spiritual experience.
It's incredible to think about the potential there.
It is.
And how technology can connect people and create that sense of belonging.
Yeah. And they're also excited to keep evolving their approach to worship and spiritual formation.
So it's about finding that balance between innovation and tradition.
Yes.
Staying true to their roots while also embracing the future.
Exactly.
Well, this has been a truly inspiring deep dive.
It has.
We've learned so much about this remarkable church. And their story really offers some valuable lessons for any organization, any community that's trying to grow and thrive in today's world.
Their commitment to community engagement, inclusivity, and adaptability. It's pretty amazing.
And their willingness to embrace innovation, to experiment and take risks. Mm. It's really a testament to their belief in the power of faith to make a difference.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I'll leave you with this. What can you do to foster a greater sense of community and belonging in your own sphere of influence? Whether it's your neighborhood, your workplace, your online communities, we all have the power to make a difference. Thanks for joining us.